Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. And it's great to have Bruce Feldman on the show. Been on from time to time, and we are pumped about the college football season really getting underway this weekend. Bruce, thank you for the time today. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on with you.
Bruce, I want to start with a Tennessee question, but one I think specific for you. That is Tyson Helton. He's a kind of a great unknown to Tennessee fans right now, and he's essentially the head coach of the offense for Tennessee. We kind of know what we're going to get with Jeremy Pruitt and the defensive staff that he hired. What do you know about Tyson Helton, and how much of an unknown is he when it comes to play calling?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I agree with you just because this is kind of the wild card because of you got a defensive-minded head coach. Living out here on the West Coast, Tyson Helton was out here at USC, did a really nice job. Obviously, worked with Sam Darnold. He kind of had a three-headed offensive coordinator situation with he and T. Martin, as well as his brother Clay Helton. You know, one of the guys he learned under was from his time at Western Kentucky was Jeff Durham. To me, Jeff Durham is as good a defensive coach as there is in football right now. And Jeff Durham was a play caller and really was heavily involved in that. So this is a little bit of an unknown with Tyson and how he's going to be, because he's going to be the guy now. It's not like, again, where the head coach is going to have much input in what they're calling. I think one thing that was a very smart move by Jeremy Pruitt was when he made this decision and put his staff together, he aligned an offensive line coach and an offensive coordinator who have worked together, are very close. To me, that is critical. And I'll give you an example of why. There's another former Saban disciple who got a big first head coaching job in the SEC, and that was Will Muschamp. To me, the biggest mistake Will Muschamp made and why things really imploded at Florida was because his original O-line guy and his offensive coordinator did not get along at all, and it really blew up. And if you have issues like that, almost everything else is going to be secondary. And so the fact that these guys are on the same page in Knoxville, I think that's a really good situation. And we'll see what Tyson can do. Again, I mean, if he's anything like Jeff Brohm, if he's studied and can be like Jeff Brohm, that's great. That bodes well for Tennessee fans down the road.
Bruce, I'm glad that you brought up Jeff Brohm, because everyone's going to be excited on Thursday to finally see some actual college football. And this game on Thursday night is Purdue and Northwestern. Of course, Purdue coached by Jeff Brohm. Do you see Brohm at Purdue as a long-term fit, or is this a coach that's so much on the rise right now where he eventually is going to move on to something bigger?
You know, I was a little surprised that he stayed for another year, because we knew he got interest from a bunch of places. I mean, if Louisville, where he's from, if they eventually punt on Bobby Petrino, he's a slam dunk for them to go get. The thing is, I mean, you're talking about a 47-year-old guy. Jeff Brohm is like in position right now. I would not be surprised if some NFL teams really gave a long look at him too. He spent time, you know, in professional football. He's just such a good play caller. And having done a couple of Purdue games, I did their game against Michigan, and later last year their bowl win over Arizona. You know, he is so creative. He's also shown to be a really good recruiter. He beat Texas and a bunch of other people for one of the most dynamic offensive players in the country last year. I think that they're going to keep building and building. It's going to be hard for Purdue to keep him there, but he definitely makes the Big Ten West a lot more formidable. And we'll see. He didn't want to jump after 1 year. We'll see what happens if they go to another bowl game and maybe get to 8 wins. I think he's one of the top coaching commodities out there right now.
Bruce Feldman, our guest on the Midday 180. Bruce, at the end of the season, will we view the UCLA football season as a success for Chip Kelly? What is he up against there?
he did not inherit much. And just for perspective's sake, they have more talent on the defensive side of the ball than they do on offense, just in terms of like a couple of difference maker guys. But that defense last year was like 123rd in the country. So when that's the strength of your team going into the season, that tells you about how big of an uphill climb it is. Their schedule is arguably as tough as anybody has in the country. I could see where they may only be a favorite in two games this season. And one of those games is going to be against a Fresno State team that won double digits last year. I mean, they have Fresno State, they have Cincinnati in their non-conference, and then they got to go on the road to Oklahoma team that played in the playoff last year. That is not going to be easy. Jim Moore did not leave much for him to work with. I think you'll see a lot of true freshmen playing this year at UCLA. If Kelly gets them to 6-6 with what he inherited and what that schedule looks like, I think you will see him get a lot of – he probably will be the Pac-12 Coach of the Year, and he might get some votes for National Coach of the Year just to get him to bowl eligible.
Bruce Feldman with us on 104.5 The Zone.
You are not a big fan of a piece that elsewhere that outlined overrated and underrated coaches, particularly two guys that were listed as overrated. Tell us why you think some of these anonymous quotes on James Franklin and Willie Taggart are off base.
Well, especially the one on Franklin. Here's the thing, the way I look at it, and you guys obviously know this well, where you guys are. Vandy football had been god-awful for so long. I mean, he had three seasons at Vandy, and twice they finished in the top 25. They hadn't done that in 75 years. I mean, so to me, that was remarkable. Then he goes to Penn State, where they had been coming out of a scandal. Penn State's brand and image was in the toilet. And by year three, he beats Ohio State, beats Wisconsin, and they win the Big Ten. They have back-to-back years where they finish in the top 10. They're recruiting better than they have since a lot of these recruits were born. So that's two places where he's done pretty remarkable jobs in a pretty short span of time. Now, I'm not going to say he's better than Nick Saban. And I won't say he's better than Dabo Swinney and Urban Meyer because those guys have won championships. But you show me some guys who have done more at places that nobody else had done anything, and it's going to be a short list. You can give me Bill Snyder, and then it's about it. I mean, you know, I think Gary Patterson and Chris Peterson are great coaches and deserving to be in that realm too. But Gary Patterson took over a team that won 10 games the year before he became the head coach. So to win it, to do what he did at Vandy, and by the way, since James Franklin left, it's not like Vandy was back in the top 25. They tailed off again. So, you know, he's made Penn State nationally relevant again. To me, he's a legit top five or top six coach. And then the other guy, Willie Taggart, I mean, every place he took over was like a two-win team or a two- or three-four-win team, and he left all the places he got, you know, he's been much better than when he took over.
You got Miami and LSU this weekend. How important is the start of this season for Ed Orgeron and his job security? Really tough game against Miami. No one's really expecting them to win that game, but then they get a cupcake. Then they get Auburn. This could be a 1-2 start for Ed Orgeron. How difficult could things get for him if that's the case?
Well, I mean, you never want to have that kind of start when already there's some skepticism there. Now, look, I mean, it's year two. It's not realistic to expect anybody to pull the plug on a coach, you know, 2 years in. But it will make recruiting that much harder. No matter how well you think you're recruiting and how much, you know, how many commitments you got in the summer, if it starts coming down to, then people are going to go, you know what, 2019 is a make or break year. He's going to go into it on a very hot seat. You know, I mean, if they're looking at their schedule, the way it sets up is not very easy. They got Georgia in there too, coming from the other side. It's going to be an uphill climb. I mean, I'm looking at them as probably a 7-win team. I don't think they win the Miami game, and I think I don't see them winning Auburn. So I think they are going to be a lot better next year. You look at what he took over. It didn't have a lot of depth in terms of on either line. And I think that was a question. We know they've had major issues at quarterback, and that's still a big question mark. So if somehow they can get to 8, or nine wins this year. I think that would cool a little bit of this chatter off. But at the same time, you know, when it's LSU and Jimbo Fisher's over there and he's recruiting really well at Texas A&M, and we expect Mississippi State to maybe make a run at 10 wins, and obviously Alabama's Alabama and Auburn, a lot of people think they're a top 10 team. That does not set up well if you're in Baton Rouge, especially when you're playing. You also have to deal with Georgia in a top 10 Miami program.
Bruce Feldman, reporter at Fox Sports, writer for The Athletic. Bruce, always great having you on. We appreciate the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Follow Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Feldman, CFB.